Hello, boys and girls. Craig Anthony Harper here. Welcome to this week's episode of The U Project. But before we get underway, I just want to say, hey, Maxes, you rock. And Maxines, you rock as well. Thanks for making this possible and for supporting this little endeavor. Maxes and Maxines are Australia's best-selling sports nutrition range for blokes and girls. They're Australian-owned, Australian-made. They've been around for about 30 years, and in my opinion, they are the best sups on the market in terms of taste, quality and performance. And yes, I actually use them myself and have been using them for about a decade or so. They're amazing tasting protein bars, cookies and powders, great range of high performance formulae or formulas to help you get the most out of every workout and build the body you'll be proud of. They're going to help you train hard, optimize your genetic potential and recover like a superstar. Thanks, Maxes. Thanks, Maxines. Oh, here we are, 3, 2, 1, and we're live, The U Project. I'm Craig Anthony Harper. This is the podcast where we talk about getting the most out of you, your life, your possibilities, your circumstances, your body, your mind, your job, your relationships, all that stuff. We have had some great guests thus far. This week is no different. I'm joined in the studio by Jason Cunningham of The Practice. G'day, champ.
G'day, pal. How are you?
I'm very good now. For those who don't know you, Channel 10's The Living Room. You're the finance guru, SEN. You've been on there for 100 years. You've written a couple of books, Where's My Money and Have Your Cake and Sell It Too. I love the title of that book. So we've spoken a lot. We've spoken in the sporting space. We've dealt with addiction. We've dealt with psychology and mindset and getting the most out of ourselves on a personal level. So I want to jump in and out of self-management with the financial stuff, the business stuff, the career stuff, and also the life stuff. So wherever we want to go. But you and I were chatting off air and we were talking about the relationship between what's going on in our external world. And I said, how's business? And you said, fucking great. And I said, what about you? And you're like, well, I'm a bit tired and there's shit going on.
And then I hit the couch and you gave me 30 minutes on the couch. Yeah, absolutely.
But don't you think that it's an amalgamation of, you know, when we talk about success, like, if you're talking to a room of people like I do, you do, and you go, put up your hand if you want to be successful. Everyone puts up their hand, absolutely. Of course. I do this little activity. I go, who wants to be successful? All the hands go up. Then I go, cool, write down what that is. And they go, what? I go, well, you want it. What is it? Mm. And a lot of people will sit and look at their piece of paper and go, well, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, well, if you can't define it, you're probably not going to create it. Yeah. So, you know, in this kind of, in this little chat, I like to talk about what success means to you, what your life looks like, what your relationships look like, what's happening financially and practically and emotionally. And sometimes I think we get there, wherever there is, and you go, well, fuck, this doesn't feel like I thought it would feel.
Yeah.
So maybe I just need, it's like, oh, I lost 5, maybe I need to lose 7.
Yeah.
Or maybe I need to lose, or I'm earning 200, maybe it's 250 that'll make me happy. Then you go, or maybe it's not about money. Maybe money's just a resource, but what's missing is more on the emotional or the psychological scale.
It's funny, Craig. Before I tell you my definition of success, I knew we had one thing in common, which was both at SEN.
Yep.
But my name's Jason Anthony Cunningham, just like your Craig Anthony Harper.
There you go. Fucking great minds.
Do you like that connection there? Yeah. I'm just going to take this wedding ring off now, Melanie, just so we're all clear. So you said earlier about what's the definition of success, right?
And
this is, I pinched this phrase from somebody else, and I don't know who the person is. And when you're quoting someone, you really should reference them, but I don't know who the person is. But definition of success is doing what I want, when I want, and who I want to do it with.
Yeah.
You know? And I started a business at a young-ish age, like yourself. I was 24. And I went into business with a guy that I went to primary school, high school, and university together with. So we spent a fair bit of time together. We went our separate ways. I worked at Ford and he worked in town. And at the age of 24, we came together. And one of the main reasons that I went into business is I wanted to work for myself. Not because I've got this fucking huge ego and I want to be the big dick. But I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And for me, the biggest thing was I wanted to have fun. And no disrespect to Ford Motor Company, because I loved working that organization. It taught me so much. And it gave me the skills and the toolkit, if you like, to set up my own business. But it wasn't a heap of fun.
Fun was
at lunchtime or when we walked around and we walked through the plant and we saw the cars being built. And for me, it's always been about enjoying myself. Whatever it is that I'm doing, it's about enjoying myself. But I also know, as an accountant, you know, with the accounting DNA going through me, as a CPA or car parking attendant, some would refer me. No, but I know that having a bit of brass, you know, a bit of extra coin,
yep,
makes life a bit easier.
Yep, of course.
Now, I've been doing it for 20 years or 21. I'm into my 21st year. And my bride, Angela, always says to me, Jason, life's not just about a financial decision, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're in the fitness industry. You're a fine-looking unit. I don't know why you haven't got your shirt on right now, but that's another story. But because I talk to people every day, all day, about making money,
yeah,
sometimes I fall into the trap and think everything's about a financial decision. And,
yeah.
You know, we mentioned off air, and we won't go too deep in it today, but or now, but, you know, my mum's got terminal cancer, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you only ever got one mum, right? Sometimes you can have two or three dads, but you only got one mum. And to see your mum face her own mortality, it really just changes shit up, right?
100%.
And she's at Peter Mac down there in Parkville. And I don't know if you've ever been into Peter Mac, but no one wants to be in that joint.
Mm.
It's the best hospital you've ever seen. Like, it's the duck's nuts. It looks unbelievable. It looks amazing. You get up there on the fifth floor and everyone's sitting. It's like, you know, you get your number when you go to the butcher's, right?
Mm.
Everyone gets the number and you wait and you're looking at the screen and everyone's shitting themselves, right?
Mm.
And you look across, and the thing about cancer is she doesn't discriminate. Mm. So sitting there is an 18-year-old girl, right? Sitting there is a 35-year-old mum with a newborn.
Yeah.
And there's an 80-year-old bloke from Mildura, right? And I noticed, I think it was the second time we went there, I try to liven things up with mum, and they've got offices, and I was running in making phone calls and doing shit on the whiteboard and drawing doodles and all this sort of stuff.
Of course you were.
Yeah. Just to liven it up. And mum's, Jason, you're so embarrassing, you know? And I noticed there was a doctor or a nurse or somebody went to the door with a buzzer, you know, beep, and let themselves in.
Yeah.
I thought, why would they waste their money putting a buzzer there? Because behind there's chemo.
Yeah.
No one wants the chemo.
Yeah, no one's rushing in there.
You could open it up. You could put trays of chemo there. No one is sprinting in to say, please, can you jam some poison into me? And I don't know where I'm going with that path. But I guess the point is, you know, when you go through an experience like that with someone so close to you, you go, you know what? Let's just take a little bit of a pill here and just chill it out. Because, you know, we are always striving for success.
Mm. 100%.
We're trying to be better than, you know, what we used to be and all that sort of stuff. And I think sometimes we go a bit too far with that.
I think, well, you and I have more in common than you know, because my mum's also got cancer. Oh, right. So it's same, just finished 5 months of chemo.
Cancer can eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah, cancer right sucks the fatty. But what it does do is, I mean, we're getting deep and philosophical, but that's cool because that's life, right? So cancer, want it or hate it, well, no one wants it, but it's life. Like, I always say to people, life's messy, it's unfair, life doesn't give a fuck. Mm. It's just, and in the middle of all the good stuff, the bad, you know, some of life's amazing, it's beautiful and magnificent and joyful, some of it's painful and fucking horrible, but in the middle of the peaks and troughs, the good and bad is Jason and Craig.
Yeah,
and there we are going, well, fuck, let's figure it out. Because
we've got the same middle name.
Yeah, exactly. And I say to people all the time, look, I can jump up and down and whinge and sook and complain and feel fucking frustrated about mum and like shake my fist at God or whoever you want to shake. At the end of the day, she's still got cancer.
Yeah.
And all you've done is put yourself in a shit state, and you know value to you, and you know value to anyone.
Mm.
So that, but what I think it does, illness does, poverty does, catastrophe does, you know, unexpected tragedy does, is gives you context and perspective.
Absolutely.
Because I think we get caught up in our own bullshit a little bit and go, well, fucking, I'm killing it. And I'm, well, yeah, maybe. That's cool, though. And then you go... And as I said to you before we came on air, like I had a moment when I was in my mid-30s where in one aspect of my reality I was killing it, and in another aspect, which was the internal, the emotional, the psychological, the personal, I was a fucking train wreck because all of my sense of self and purpose and energy and focus, and I mean all of it, was business.
Yeah,
I was just this... I was just a cog in a fucking machine. And you lose yourself. And I think, you know, like all transformation, all personal growth, for me anyway, it starts with awareness and acknowledgement and going, all right, well, I don't have to do this or be this, you know. And even with, you know, but I think having said all of that, you know, like you come from this space where you're an expert in building wealth, growing organizations, teaching, leading, coaching in that space, right? And that's a fundamental aspect of humanity as well, because that's how our world works. I think for me, and I don't know how you feel on this, like there's this scripture that gets misquoted all the time, and it's money's the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Do you know what the actual scripture is?
No.
The love of money
is
the root of all evil.
Okay.
Not trying to hitch up with too much theology.
Yeah.
So what that says to me is, well, money's just a fucking resource that you're going to do something with, right?
Yeah.
And it's as important as you make it.
Yeah.
And it's defined you as much as you let it define you. So for me, I get paid well. You get paid well. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. I just think it can become unhealthy when you confuse what you have with who you are.
Oh, absolutely. And but you see that, you know, you see those people that, you know, there's a reference like the humble millionaire who gets out of an old Kingswood, you don't know how much brass he's got.
Yeah.
And when I explain understanding money, I use this analogy I wrote about it in my first book, and I reckon one of the most beautiful things that exists in this country, in this world, is the diversity that exists among us. And every single one of us is different. The only thing we've got in common is the amount of time we've got, but everything else, we're different. And I reckon our psychological relationship with money is different, right? And I think that if you can understand the psychology of money, but your attitude and aptitude towards money, then it can help you get to where you want to get to, right? So, you know, fitness more than most, and I've got a reasonable understanding of money more than most. So what I've done is I reckon that there's six traits when it comes to money, right? And I call it birds of a feather.
I'm going to write this down.
Right?
Yeah.
Birds of a feather spend together, all right? So I'll give you so it's an easy way for you to work it out, I reckon, anyway. So the first one is the ostrich, all right? The ostrich, what she does is she puts her head in the sand and she ignores everything. I don't want to know about it. The credit card bill's racking up. Head in the sand. If I don't know about it, if I don't look at my credit card statement, she's not happening, right?
Can I say he or she?
Yeah. Well, I just play around with it, and I'm looking at it now. Yeah. The next is the chicken, right? And the chicken, he shits himself. So he's too scared to make any financial decision whatsoever.
Yeah.
Do I go left or right? Do I buy a house? Do I invest in shares? Do I put it here? Do I buy an Elwood? Do I buy an Essendon? I don't know. I'm chicken. I'm frightened.
Right.
The next is the magpie. All right. Now, we all know a magpie. The magpie, he thinks that he's pretty frugal, but in actual fact, he's just a tight ass. You know when you go out to, say you go for a beer with a group of mates, say there's five of you, and it's Harps, Shout, then Jace, Mal, the fourth, and that fifth guy goes, look, I've got to go now. Right?
So I'll get a bolt, fellas.
Yeah, sorry, but I'll get the first one next time. So that's the magpie. then we've got the peacock, right?
Okay.
Now, the peacock is, look at me, right? I got more money than God, and I'm throwing it around, and I look amazing, and I got a flash car and a flash suit. But as an accountant, we get to see how much money people really have, that's the peacock. So what have I got? I've got the chicken, I've got the ostrich, chicken, magpie, peacock. All right, work with me. The eagle, so the eagle soars and takes that longer term view, is very strategic in his or her decision making.
Flies above all the shit.
And then the final one is the kookaburra, right? And the kookaburra just has too much fun. So he's not interested in any forward planning or any thinking about life. They're just too busy having fun, right? Now, the key to all that is working out which category are you in.
Right.
And once you work out which, and I reckon those six categories can, pretty much most of us can fall into one. And people read my book and I get emails saying, Jace, yeah, absolutely, I'm a chicken. I'm too afraid to do anything. Or my wife, you know, or my business partner, he's a magpie. He never spends a cent on anything. Mm. Then once you know who you are and you understand your behaviours associated with money, then you can come up with some strategies to help you get ahead.
Yeah.
Right? Now, most people say to me, Jace, the eagle is the one that I want to be because, you know, the eagle soars above everything and thinks long term and thinks strategically, and that's who I am.
Yep.
But there's some downsides to being an eagle because for me, I'm always investing, investing, and investing, and I've got my bride, says, Jay, we've got to live in the now. So my wife, she spends, she's got a triple degree in spending. She's outstanding at it. I fully respect her, the way she lubes me up. We just built our new house and we're getting furniture, you know, and she takes me to the shit furniture shop and she goes, well, can you get a couch like that, knowing that I'd never do it? Then she takes me to the next one, and then she takes me to the grouse one, and next minute I'm spending more money than God on furniture. So it's an art. It's a gift. There's a combination of science and art, and I respect her for it. But us as a
she's a master manipulator. She should be a fucking agent. She should work for the government.
Well, maybe she does. I didn't
she
even
probably
know.
Does. You're probably her stooge.
But as a compliment, we work really well together. I love you, Angela. And I think that once you understand.
Yeah,
your relationship with money, then that's the first step. It's like mindset is everything, and I don't need to tell you that, right? Yeah. You've worked with elite sports people, you've worked with elite sporting teams, and I think as business owners and when we're managing our household finances, I think we should take the attitude of a business. But I think we could all learn from professional sporting teams. Mm. If you look at elite sporting teams, what they do compared to the way most businesses and most households behave is completely opposite.
Mm.
So an elite sporting team, let's take the AFL, which we both love. I know you're a St Kilda supporter. I'm a Mad Bomber. The season ends on the end of September. The boys have 6 weeks off. They come back in the middle of November. Mm. The first thing they do is they check their skin folds, they check their diets, and they go, right, you're going to eat this, you're going to drink this, you're going to exercise this way, you're going to read this playbook, and you're going to do this, this, and this. And it's nutrition, training, practice, nutrition, training, practice, inside the classroom, on the oval, get ready. It's 5 months of this shit before they play the first game.
Mm.
In business, what happens is you go, oh, look, I've got a business, let's start. There's no practice, there's no training, there's no playbook, there's none of that.
And you know what you can extrapolate that to, that's even worse, is life. Like,
correct.
How many people keep doing what doesn't fucking work with their body, with their marriage, with their brand, with their money, and they wake up 5 years later, they're still having the same internal dialogue about the same stuff.
Yeah, because so it'll get better on Monday, right?
I always say, I do this little thing in my workshops, and I say, if I gave you a block of land at Portsea, overlooking the ocean, and I said, and by the way, here's $3 million to build your house on that block of land overlooking the ocean. When would you start building? Like, you get it today. When would you start actually building? And they're like, well, you know, there's all the council and there's the planning and the design and the architects and the maybe a year. Of course, you're not building tomorrow, because you would plan that place that you want to live within an inch of its life, before you even pour the concrete, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what's more important, your life or a house?
Yeah, I think
because we don't plant, like, we kind of put a bit of thought into it, but we're not very strategic about our life the way that we would be about a business or building a home. We just get up and keep doing what doesn't fucking work.
And we jump into it. And the carpenter's rule, I pinched this from a guy called Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the most amazing audiobooks that you will ever listen to in your life. Carpenter's rule, measure twice, cut once, right?
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you're talking about. Most people just get up and jump into it. And you know the other thing? I just want to jump back to that sporting analogy if I can, because this gets me quite unnaturally excited. But is the whole feedback piece. And we spoke about this whole, you know, you spoke about blind spot and feedback, you know, off air.
Yeah.
You take a football club, an AFL footy club, but it's the same across all elite sports. And the moment the game starts, 3 minutes in, the runner goes out and says to Harps, mate, I told you, you got to watch the guy jumping out the back. I want you to be goal side of this guy, Stephen Milne. He's a little shifty. He's always going to get the goals. You've got to be goal side of him. You've got to keep him at bay, blah, blah, blah. Don't be in front of him, blah, blah, blah. And you get instant feedback.
Yeah.
And the runner comes out every so often. You're getting feedback. 2 minutes to go before quarter time or a minute to go before quarter time, all the line coaches get up. They grab their boards. They run down. The siren goes and they split into their mids, the backs and the forwards. The coaches go up to them, they hold up the boards, and they said, these were our KPIs. This is what we're measuring against. We need to get this many hardball gets, this many inside 50s, blah, 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 blah. You got it? Everyone right? Pep talk, bang, back out.
Mm.
Half-time history repeats itself, the same process, three-quarter time, the end of the game, the coach takes him in, this is what worked, this is what didn't work. Sunday, you get your video, you watch your video, you talk to the line coach on Monday, they forget about it, and they move on to next week's game. But in life, in business, in work, we never, we're too frightened to solicit feedback because we don't want our feelings to be hurt. We don't have anyone holding us to account. We very rarely have the most powerful accountability, which is self-imposed accountability. You know, like losing weight. If I say, I want to drop a few pegs, if I say to you by the 18th of April, I'm going to lose 7 kilos, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut out sugar, I'm going to cut out bread, I'm going to do cardio 3 times a week, 100%. I'm going to do weight twice a week, and I'm going to do, you know, HIIT 3 times a week, whatever, I've got a way better chance of success 100%. Because I'm holding myself to account.
And what you've got is, you've got a process, you've got structure, you've got clarity, you've got a timeline, accountability. The thing that a lot of people, like, for example, one of the first things that would happen if I came to see you and said, I need advice, on some level you would say, well, what are you doing? Where are you at? What do you own? What's your situation? So you would do a stock take or an assessment.
Absolutely.
Right, to go, where are you at? Where do you want to be?
Yep.
Now, the same thing happens with exercise science, personal training, whatever you want to call it. People come in and they go, this is my body. It's not the one I want to inhabit. I want it to be different.
Yeah.
And I go, all right, well, let's do some testing. So we get some baseline data, right? It's not good or bad. It's just information.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's do body composition test, maybe a biological age test. Let's do some girth measurements, see how much fat you've got, see how much muscle you've got. Let's see how hydrated you are. Let's do maybe a bit of strength testing, fitness testing, flexibility testing. Then we get all this shit and we call that baseline data. That's your starting point. Then now let's put a plan in place or an exercise program. Let's do the program. Let's reconvene in 28 days and evaluate what's working and what's not. Based on that, we'll make... So I think the thing that's lacking quite often in our life is strategy. Like we're super emotional. We're driven by emotion, which to a point, excitement, motivation, inspiration is good, but it's not wrapped in any kind of strategy. The amount of people that I talk to as a coach and mentor who literally are, I know you're in your very early 40s, I'm in my early-ish 50s, but even people in our age or in that space who go, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Like people who don't have, and they're just, and again, there's no judgment in this, just observation and conversation. Where how many people are simply doing shit that on the enjoyment and the fulfillment and the purpose scale is somewhere between a 2 and a 5?
Yeah, I know.
Just because they're in a fucking psychological and behavioral groove that they can't or won't get out of.
And my theory is there's only one way to change that, all right? And whether you're in business or whether you're working for someone else, I reckon there's only one way to change that, and that's change the environment that you're in. And so what I mean by that is, so for business owners, I've been doing this for 20 years. What we do is we go away. We get out of the office. Yeah. We get away from the debits and the credits and the best statements and all that exciting stuff that gets us accountants really sort of lubed up. What we do is we go away. We go to a different environment, right? We did this. So we're in business for 12 months. Our first year of business. So I was working at Ford Motor Company. I left a job. I was earning 54 grand a year. This is 20.
That's big money back then.
Big money. I was on this fast track for young finance manager. And I left and we went into business. In our first year of business, the turnover of our business was 60 grand. Right? And my salary was $100 a month. Right?
You were killing
it. I was flying. So I'd made 1,200 bucks for the year. The year before I made 54 grand. I've gone into business. I'm making 1,200 bucks. I'm advising people on how to make money. I had no fucking money. I had no clients. I had no idea. But I knew that I was on track. Believe it or not, I knew I was on track. And I had this coach who implored on us the importance of being on purpose. And he used to say to me, Jay, on life, if you want to be congruent with your life and your own operating rhythm, you've got to be on purpose. He goes, not just in your personal life, in your business life. And in business, we call that a purpose. Work out who is it you serve and how is it that you serve them. You know, the more you put in, the more you get out, that sort of shit. We went away to Port Douglas. I remember flying, you know, on the plane with my suit on. I thought I was a rock star. You know, I'm flying for business. And how good's this? But we got out of our natural environment and we went away and we worked out our strategy. First, we underpinned that was our purpose and we built a strategy. 20 years later, you know, we've got 80 employees now. And we turn over, you know, a fair bit. And I'm making a bit more than 100 bucks a month. But I put it down to the ability, no, sorry, I'll take that back. The fact that we force ourselves every year to get out of our natural environment and work out our plan. And I do that at home with Ange and I. We, you know, some people go, oh, Jace, I can't seem to get ahead financially. I go, yes, you can. They go, I can't. I said, yes, you can. The first thing you got to do is you got to work out and build a plan and build a budget. And they go, oh, I hate budgeting. I go, mate, I fucking hate budgeting as well. My wife and I, we met at university, right? She's an accountant as well.
Yeah.
All right? Poor thing. And I went to St. Monica's as primary school, all boys primary school.
Hey, Melissa, how exciting would that fucking house be?
No, I'll tell you.
Seriously.
When it's budget night, Mel, I'm telling you right now, it's all systems go.
Do you just sit in your undies with fucking with your pencil and paper going, fucking pass me the calculator.
Pause it, rewind that bit. No. So I had an all boys primary school. I went to an all boys secondary school. I got to university. Mate, there were chicks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This really tall, pretty girl, told lies to her, who's smooching and whatever. The rest is history. But we budget at the start of the year every year.
Yeah.
And it takes us a couple of hours. Mm. But what we do is we don't count every minuscule penny.
Mm.
We do it a little bit differently. And anyone can do this. Mm. Right. So there's an overarching notion when it comes to creating wealth, and that is this. The more money we earn, the more we spend. Right? Mm. It's as simple as that. So the more you earn, the more you spend. I guarantee you that. Mm. When I had my first job stacking shelves at Bilo Supermarket, I'd earn $150 a week, and I managed to spend it all.
Yeah.
Oh, before they used to sell footy records at Windy Hill, I'd get about $75-$80 a week. I managed to spend it all.
Yeah.
Then I got a job at the supermarket, managed to spend it all. Then I got a job at Ford, I was on $700 when I started, and I managed to spend it all. And it wasn't until I got into business that I realized that the more I earned, the more I spent.
Yeah.
And the only way to get ahead financially is take money off yourself. Because if you haven't got it, Craig, you can't spend it.
Mm.
Now, the analogy I use, and I tell this story on stage, is for those of us that have ever tried to drop a few kilos, for those of us that have ever tried to lose weight. Now, typically, for most of us, we've got a vice, right? Mm. Now, my wife, who's my little experimental toy, which sounds a little bit sort of 50 Shades of Inappropriateness, but anyway.
Sounds a bit Harvey Weinstein.
No, but we're married. It was Ange running around with a Me Too t-shirt on. Yeah. So anyway, so after a weekend of overindulging, she'll wake up and she goes on a traditional air and lettuce diet, right? And because you know how successful they are.
Perfect.
Right? And so she'll wake up Monday, she'll eat nothing, a bit of water, a bit of lettuce. But at dinner time, we'll have a nice meal, you know, protein, carbs, all this sort of veggies. And my bride is an amazing cook. And see, I don't have many talents, maybe two or three, and that's at the top end. But one of my talents is I make an amazing cup of tea, right? And so Ange cooks, I go, honey, I'll get the tea. So I make her a cup of tea, and her vice is chocolate with nuts in it, right? So what I do is I sneak in and I break off two rows, right? And I come out with the cup of tea and the two rows, and she goes, get that shit away from me. Right? Mm, Tuesday, history repeats itself, a beautiful meal. Mm. I go make the cup of tea, come back, two rows. No.
Yeah.
Wednesday comes, then she starts shaking at the knees, right? Thursday, bang, give me those chocolate, bang, rams it in, rams the whole box in.
Why do you do this?
The point of the story is this, Craig Harper.
Why the fuck do you do that?
Because
just a nasty person.
But if the chocolate's not there, she can't eat it, right?
Right.
So the same analogy is with money. Mm. If the money's not there, you can't spend it. So my point is this. When you go to budget, work out what it is that you want to achieve.
Mm.
Do you want to save 10 grand a year? If it's 10 grand a year, it's $200 a week. If your wages are on $1,000, if you earn $1,000 a week, you take $200 off yourself and live off the $800. Now, that analogy is quite in its simplest form, but I promise you this.
Mm.
If I gave each of you $1,000 in cash, you'll run away and spend it. If I gave you $1,000, I gave Mel $800, she could only spend the $800.
Mm.
We managed somehow as Australians, we managed to increase our expenditure in accordance with how much income we earn.
Yeah.
And so it's just that little trick with the brain.
Yeah.
Take it off and put in another account.
I had that revelation when I, you know, because I went from, you know, being a gym instructor making fucking $0.73 an hour, you know, and driving a 1976 Cortina station wagon.
That's
with
a good
dents,
car.
It's great. 250 Ford. to making relatively good money when I started PT. I say relatively. And then, you know, started my business and that went better than I ever thought it would. And, you know, then all of a sudden I woke up one day and went, well, I've actually got money, you know, not not gangster money, but money. And I went and bought a good car.
Yeah.
I bought a fancy as fuck for me car. Yeah. And then, you know, and then went, I don't know if you ever do this, but I'm a maniac. When I've got good things, then I worry about them.
Yeah.
Well, now I've got this really good car. I don't want to park it anywhere.
Don't want to drive it.
So I better ride my shitty motorbike because I don't want people to, and I did that about three or four times, where over 15 years I bought all these fancy cars that I worried about more than I enjoyed. Mm. This is just a personal story. I'm sure other people don't do that. But then not only that, I'd sell the car that cost me X that I looked after like a baby. I'd sell it 2 years later for 50% of X. I just lost $60,000.
Yeah.
For zero, I'm a moron.
Yeah, no right?
I'm a moron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now I drive shitty little cars. I buy new cars, but shitty little, you know, $20,000 car, get me A to B. I ride a motorbike most of the time.
Yeah.
Just get around and I don't. And for me, not everybody needs the same strategy, obviously. But
what you're doing is you're understanding your financial personality. That's what you're doing.
And right. I think that's, you know, like one of the things that I spoke to Mick Hall about when we're talking about addiction, I talk about all the time is, there's no, you know, there are certain guiding principles with anatomy, physiology, nutrition, finance, right? There are certain things that are kind of fundamental.
Yep.
If you spend more than you make, you're fucking going backwards. Well,
that's right.
No shit, right? Mm. But then beyond that, you know, what is going to work for you? Like, I think we need to figure out what you said. I love that financial personality. Mm. Figure out a blueprint that works for us, not just financially, but also something that we're okay with, you know? And I think that, you know, for a lot of people, they identify spending with fun.
Mm.
And then it gets to a point where you go, well, this is not actually fun. And this is not where I wanted to be, and it's kind of a slippery slope.
It is, particularly in the world that we live in today. And at the risk of sounding like my parents, you know, but back in my day, those of us that do have challenges holding on to money, some of us are pretty good at it. The credit card tap and go is danger.
Yeah.
Now, if I did an experiment, and you know, I don't mind doing experiments at home with a good lady bride, but let's say I did an experiment with you guys, right? If I gave one of you $1,000 cash and another one $1,000 on a credit card, what I know with 100% assurity is it'd be a lot harder to spend the cash than it is to tap and go.
So interesting.
So what happens is when you tap, you don't part with anything. So if you go to a casino, there's a reason why you don't hand over cold hard cash, because it hurts. But with chips, it's just a little bit of fun, right?
Yeah.
You're just playing. So the same philosophy is with the credit card.
Right? Yeah.
There are so many people out there that just swipe, tap, go, forget about it.
Mm.
But as you hand over a crispy one,
there's
an element of pain because you know how hard it is to earn a dollar.
That is so true.
But when you don't even know about it and you go, tap, and there we go, and oh, it's wonderful. And then you forget about it. 30 days later, you see this statement come in the mail and you go, oh, what's going on here? And you have a look at that. And that's when the pain happens. But then what you can do is you can put the credit card away and only pay the minimum.
Mm.
Now, for those of us that only ever pay the minimum on a credit card, I ask you to just do me one thing and read the fine print. I spend everything on my credit card because I'm one of those psychos that likes to track their spending and anyone else that's in my family that I may share a bed with. Yeah. And the fine print says if you pay off the minimum, sometimes it'll take 45 years to pay out the debt.
God.
Yeah, it's yucky town. So
I've got one question for you. Well, I've got a couple, but so one of the things that people always say to me is that when it comes to, and this is a long way to get to you, but if they go and ask 10 trainers one question about training, they'll get 10 answers.
Mm-hmm.
So they get confused. If they ask 10 dietitians or people who are... Sorry, tell me, Melissa, when I'm not on mic, sorry. I should be better at this.
I've been doing it for 30 years. Yeah, but
They ask, you know, 10 people one question, 10 experts in inverted commas one question about nutrition, they're going to get 10 variations. Same with... you know, treatment protocols for even cancer. Like I've been inundated by people going, and 100 people will tell me 100 different things about what my mum should or shouldn't be doing, whatever.
Mm.
How do people find, when it comes to finance and just maximizing their money and their opportunities and resources, What's the best way to access the best information without overload, without being confused, without making it harder than it needs to be? That is, people who don't have direct access to you, of course. Is there a, because it does, for people who, and I'm one of them, I'm not super great. Like, I'm good with money just because I don't spend much, but I'm not brilliant at strategizing, you know, financially. I'm like, I'll buy a property and then I'll hold on to it. That's about as technical as I get.
It's pretty smart though. So I'll answer it twofold. The first piece is this. I got a bit of advice a long time ago, and it went something along the lines of this. Jason, often the most simplest thing is the most profound. Okay? Now, my understanding of the fitness industry or trying to lose weight, my basic understanding is it's something along the lines of burn more calories than you consume.
Yep.
Something about like that. Yep. Now, I can do 5-2 diets and stand on my head and run around and do all sorts of crap. And I could do all the exercise you can give me, but if I'm smacking in 18 hamburgers and 12 Krispy Kremes, I'm probably in a spot of bother. But if I burn more calories than I consume, I reckon I'm going to be in front.
Mm-hmm.
So with money, the first thing I'd say to somebody that asks me that question is I'd find the most simple, most basic
formula,
and I'd stick to that.
Mm.
So when Ange and I budget, we do our budget, some people count every cent and they work out childcare and how many coffees they're going to have a day and all this sort of stuff. I can't be asked with that. I'm so not interested in that detail.
Mm.
I go, honey, this is how much we need to pay off our loan. Mm. These are our investments. This is our holiday money. This is what I'm going to put in the share market. This is what I'm going to do here. And this is what I'm going to reinvest in my business. And the rest, we're going to spend it.
Mm.
And it's as simple as that, because I believe the more I earn, the more I spend, or the more that's in the pot, I'll spend more. So I take it off myself, and there'll be people saying, oh, that's okay, Jason, because you're earning decent brass, and I'll come to that in a minute. But I take it all off myself, and what's left, because the last thing I want to do is fight with my good lady wife, Ange. I don't want to fight with her over money. She's got way too many other things to fight with me about, right? I just want to take one of them off the table.
Mm.
That's the first bit of advice. Find the most simple book, reading, podcast, whatever, because it often is the most profound and it's the easiest to remember.
Yep.
And the second thing, if you're looking for somebody who's an expert, a key person of influence, a thought leader in the space, I'd be speaking to somebody that I knew and I trusted and ask them, who do they use?
Mm.
You know, a referral from a trusted source is typically someone's got results. Yeah, I went and saw this guy, I went and saw this girl, and they work for me. Go and see that person. And if that person is worth their salt, the first meeting, they will not charge you for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's the way I'd go about it. The second thing, and sorry, Harps, if I just jumped
cool.
in, mate.
No, it's good.
Often, things stay the same. Even though we're in this changing, dynamic world and social media and Snapchats and Pinterest and all sorts of stuff going on there. It's a dynamic, changing world. But some key, and you said it before, universal principles stay the same.
Mm.
The reason I am the way I am, and with my attitude and aptitude towards money, and the reason that I'm in business, I learned a lot at university. I learned a lot doing my CPA, but at the age of 11, my parents lost absolutely everything that they had.
Mm.
And I lived in a suburb called Essendon. And in Essendon, those of us that live in Essendon, we refer to it as the Toorak of the North. It's still in the frickin' north, but we refer to it as the Toorak of the North. You know, some people are getting just a little bit ahead of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lost everything, mum and dad, I remember coming home from school. I was in grade 5, and I walked home with my sister and my brother, and my dad was at home at like 4 o'clock. And you're like, "What are you doing home at 4 o'clock, Dad?" And I saw he was pretty emotional, upset, and he said, "Look, we've lost the business. We're going to have to sell the house. But the good news is, we're going to go and live at Nan's house."
Did you go?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And Nan lived in a suburb called Pascavale, and it's only 3 stops along the Broadie line, but it's along the Broadie line. And Pascavale's an amazing suburb now, but you know, I'm talking 33 years ago, it wasn't as affluent as it is now. And we all, my family, my mum and dad, myself, my sister, and my brother, all 5 of us moved into one bedroom, because my father was one of 4 boys, so there was 4 there used to be, and we lived at Nan's house. And was meant to be for 12 months, and 6 years later, we moved out.
Wow.
Now, back then, mum and dad owed $98,000, right? Now, $98,000 33 years ago without any assets is a shitload of brass.
Wow.
Right? And they paid it all off. And how they did it was they got a second job and a third job and a fourth job. And as a family, We would come home after school. I got a scholarship to go to St. Bernard's. It was awesome. We'd come home after school, and we as a family would sit around the kitchen table, and we would assemble taps, you know, like a tap in the bathroom. So you get a spindle, put a washer on, put the hot tap on, put the hot on, put the cold, make a tap. And as a family, we would make 28 cents for a set of taps.
Wow.
And then after we'd wash up and have dinner. And after dinner, we had the luxury of assembling fake jewelry. You know, if you go to Priceline and you buy 13-year-old girls' earrings for like 25 bucks, we would put them together. We used to get 35 cents for them, and that was exciting. And then a couple of nights a week, I had the joy of going to clean libraries and daycare centers with my dad with a thing on the back, as you know, the vacuum, like Ghostbusters. Mm. And when I progressed and was really good at my craft, I got to do the buffer. And if anyone out there has ever done any cleaning, when you're doing a buffer on a lino floor, man, you've hit the upper echelon. And I used to think, woe is me. It's not fair. You know, I'd go to St. Bernard's in the Toorak of the North. You know, my mum drove a 1970 Ford Escort panel van. Didn't have seat belts. It was one of those cars where if the keys fell out of the ignition, this car still ran. You could put your finger in the lock barrel and start it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We call that keyless entry now, right? But so my point to the story is this, you know, and I was really embarrassed. I'd never bring my friends home from school because you come to the Cunningham household, man, you're manufacturing taps, you know, little Chinese sweatshop going on at my place, right? Yeah. But the point of the story is sometimes you just got to do what it takes, right? You can't blame your job. You can't blame your boss. Your boss is an arsehole. It's a shit company. Well, get out of there, mate, right? Do something about it. Get a second job. And if you use the modern day technology at your disposal, there's so many things that we can do.
Yeah.
You know, you can Airbnb the front room. You can be an Uber driver. You can do all this part-time stuff and make an extra $100 a week. Extra $100 a week can change your life, Craig Harper. And so, yeah, I just think sometimes...
I love that story. You know what? That story tells me, because I was listening to you, I'm like, why is this guy so highly... That's part of it.
Absolutely.
Like that. That what you just shared there, I believe anyway, that's part of, it's not all of, but that's part of your drive, because something deep inside of you, it's like the fat 14-year-old me.
Yeah, Fatty Goretti.
Fatty, you know, there's part of me even still that's very familiar, and you just don't ever want to be that.
No, and it's just etched in my brain. I mean, see, you know, living in Pascoval and going to school at St. Bernard's, the kids at St. Bernard's used to give me a hard time because I lived in Pascoval. Right? Oh, how could you live in Pascoval, right? The kids at Pascoval used to give me a hard time because I used to have a tie and a blazer because I went to a pretty boy's school, St. Bernard's. And I lived at my nan's house and my mum drove a Ford. The highlight of the school year, when you go to an all boys school for 13 years, like primary school and high school, the highlight of the school year is our sister school, St. Columbus. It's the St. Columbus disco, right? You get, you know, lightning bolt tops on and all this sort of shit back in those days.
You would have gone wild.
I was, yeah, trust me. Like, you know, anyway. So there was two a year, and I had a good friend of mine, Aaron. His mum drove a Mercedes-Benz. So when she would take us, drop us right out the front door, and out he pops out of the Merc. Mum with the Ford Escort, she dropped us off 3 km up the road in Avondale Heights, you know what I mean? I walked down, I was already sweating as I got into the disco. Whatever it's called, yeah. So I never want to go back there.
Yeah.
And I was dirty on the story for a long time until I started to get an understanding about, you spoke about guiding principles, and there's one that we have in our business called seek first to understand before I expect another person to understand us. And I started to think about, you know, because I was a bit dirty on my old man because I didn't spend much time with him as a kid, but he's working his ass off, this bloke, right? He sacrificed everything for his family. And now you get to a point, you know, so many years later where, you know, going reasonably well and got a few bucks in the bank and all that sort of stuff. And Ange and I, my wife and I, have been having this ongoing battle. I'm getting the kids to go to work. She goes, they're only 15. I don't give a fuck. I started my first job when I was 13. A boy, a girl needs to understand the importance of earning a dollar. Because the last thing you want to do is just throw money down their throat.
100%.
Because, man, how are they going to survive? It's a big world out there, mate.
I was listening to Jerry Seinfeld being interviewed the other day, and he was talking to... he's talking to the lady that was interviewing him, and he said one of his sons came up to him the other day, because he's got young kids, because I think he's got a reasonably young wife. Or one of his kids came up and said, Dad, are we rich? And he goes, I am. It's like, you're not. So I went, That is a great answer. I'm like, yeah, I'm loaded. Yeah. You? Nah. Nah, definitely not. So, now, mate, we got to wind up. But
am I boring you?
No, it's fucking great. Yeah. I would love to keep going, but I would love you to come back again if you would. If people want to... So for those who don't know, Jason, like me, does a lot of corporate stuff, works with lots of teams, companies, organisation in this space and beyond. How do people contact you? Do you have an agent or is it direct through email?
Well, you can...
What's the best way? What's the easiest way?
The easiest way to get me is on email. So Jay Cunningham
at
thepractice.com.au. You can check me. I've got a couple of websites. So I've got jasoncunningham.com.au or my business is thepractice.com.au. And yeah, you can get me there. It's pretty easy.
Fantastic. And so before we go, three guiding principles for you, whether or not that's you personally, you professionally, things that are kind of non-negotiables for Jay Cunningham that you think might add value to the life of others.
Okay, thank you for that.
So three non-negotiables, no pressure, better be fucking awesome.
So the guiding principles that I'm going to share with you are for people that I love, that are people in my circle.
Yeah.
So my business, my family, and my close friends. The first is, whenever I'm engaging with someone that I love or someone in my family, the first thing is, I presume best intention.
Yep.
Second is, I seek first to understand another person before I expect him or her to understand me.
Yep, love it.
And the third is that we absolutely celebrate the diversity that exists among us.
Yeah.
The fact that we're all different, the fact that we see things through a different paradigm, I think that is so awesome. If there was 24.5 million Jason Cunninghams in this country, I'd be the first bloke going to the West Gate, right?
Mm.
The fact that we're all different, that we enjoy different things, that's what makes us so special. That's what makes this country that we live in so amazing.
Mm.
The multicultural, eclectic environment. You know, driving from Parkville to here today, and going through all the different suburbs.
Yeah,
man, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, mate, you're a gun. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, pal.
Thanks for your time. Big thanks to Jason Cunningham. I probably couldn't have got through that podcast. He is high energy. I probably couldn't have got through it without my Max's supplements, specifically the 100% pure whey protein powder that I have every morning on my cereal. I know it sounds a little weird, but it works for me. I tell you exactly what I have. I have almonds. I have oats, rolled oats. I have psyllium husk. I have almond milk, which is a bit weird, I know, and I have about 40 grams of that protein powder. It is fucking amazing. Don't worry about that. And every arvo, I have ice and water and protein powder. I have a bit of a smoothie, a bit of a shake. So it works for me, and it might just work for you. www.maxes.com.au and maxinesburn.com. If you're in the market for a little bit of higher performance, a little bit of change in body comp, a little bit of muscle on the old frame, jump onto Maxes and Maxines and check them out.